Good morning and happy Sabbath, everyone. It is a great day to be alive. What do you say? The fall colors are out in their full bloom. And today's a relatively warm day. There's enough sunshine outside and everything. So we have a lot of reasons to praise God today. Amen? You know, we come to God's house for one big purpose. What is it? To worship Him? Anybody else want to share another answer? True, we come to God's house to worship Him. Anything else? Fellowship. Fellowship. Do you think fellowship is as important as worship? Well, I think Ginger is putting it in nice perspective for us. How can you fellowship if you don't worship? Or how can you have corporate worship without fellowship? It's true, we worship individually, one-on-one. And there's no sweeter time than one-on-one time with God. However, one-on-one time does not replace time for corporate worship. Otherwise, we could have gone by some riverbank or some mountainside or some slope somewhere and just worship by ourselves. Why come together? Why come together? It's fascinating that in the Godhead, there is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They kind of share love around. And sometimes I try to think, but after a while I stop. You know, before God created angels or human beings, what were the three of them doing from eternity past, you know? Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, what were they doing? See, we need God, but in truth, God does not need us. It is out of His love that God made some creatures called human beings. Out of His love. He wanted to share that love some more. And He wanted other intelligent creation that can experience and express that same love. Isn't that true? By the way, I was never going to get married. Pastor Tim, Lady Brittany, I was never going to get married. And if you look back there, you can see two of my daughters on that side. I don't know where Abigail is sitting. But two of my daughters are right behind you there. So it means that I am married. My wife is not here today because today is the New York Conference's Women's Ministries weekend retreat. And they're meeting just maybe, 30 minutes west of here in a Painted Post. So I dropped Risha off there last evening. And then she'll be there until tomorrow. So I'll pick her up and then we come to the wedding tomorrow. She's already on this side. She's much closer, you know? Yeah, so I was never going to get married. And then came along this young lady I saw in church. And for 3 years, we attended the same church and didn't know each other. As a matter of fact, my church was so big that she could easily be lost in the crowd. At one point, our youth choir at my home church was 70 voices strong. That's just the youth choir. I'm not talking the adult choir or children's choir. That's just the youth choir. Yeah, so I grew up in a church where we were 80% youth. And literally, we don't have space to put people. We built a new wing, and before that, we have to knock the whole thing and just bring Maranatha in and build a whole new church. Not enough room to put people, you know? So it's a little bit different here in the North American Plains, especially when you're out from the big cities. The churches, you know, sometimes you have too much of the benches family, you know? Yes, they are dominating, and we don't like that. We like it to be dominated with human family. Nevertheless, the work must go on in all corners of God's vineyard. Amen? And today I'm talking on a subject that has somewhat been a cliche for at least a few decades now. Have you ever heard the term that all you need is a relationship? Have you ever heard that term? Stick the hand up if you've heard the term. And especially if you're out doing evangelism and you're meeting people of other denominations, you hear that term a lot, don't you? All you need is a relationship. It is true. Every relationship has to start somewhere. Isn't that true? And you can play it over in your mind. And a relationship with God is no exception. The unique thing about a relationship with God is that God starts our saving relationship with Him. Self. He starts it. He initiates it. He made Adam and Eve. And I don't know, sometime before they were 130 years old, they sinned. Because that's how old they were when they had Seth. We know that. But it was sometime before they had Seth that they sinned. Sometime before they had Cain or Abel. But that could have been 100 years old. We don't know. It's a mystery to us. It's not revealed. But we know it was before they were 130. Amen? That's safe to say. That's the age they were when Seth was born. But when Adam and Eve sinned, did they go looking for God? No, because in sin, what do we do with God? We hide from him. We hide from him. But in Genesis chapter 3, we see that God is a missional God. He pursues us to save us. And we saw that he came looking for Adam and Eve, and he was standing right where they were. And so you know God did not ask a geographical question when he says, "Adam, where art thou?" King James Version. He was standing right there with him. He was simply asking him, "Adam, why are you where you are?" Because God was initiating a saving relationship. For Adam to accept that he's done wrong, and God is saying, "I am here to pardon. I am here to renew. I am here to bless. I am here to restore." And the whole mission of Jesus Christ to this world is to restore in us human beings a full relationship with God, the full image of God. That's the mission of Jesus Christ. To mend broken hearts, to mend broken ways, to mend that disrupted relationship between humanity and God. Jesus came to restore that. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Do you believe that? I believe it. Let's pray. Father and our God, we ask even now, in the quietness of this holy Sabbath and this October morning, that you will bless us now with your presence in a marked way, and that you'll baptize us with your Spirit. And Father, let your glory be over us. We're excited to be in your house and to learn from your word. And we are so glad that Naomi Reynolds could be here with us as well today, Lord. Just let your Spirit be upon her and upon all of us. And may we have a good time in Jesus Christ. Let your name be praised through your word. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. Amen. So God relentlessly pursues us. And so I want to raise the question, is the notion true that all you need is a relationship? Is that notion true all by itself? First of all, a relationship with God demands change. Amen? But the Bible declares that God is infallible. He is incapable of making mistakes. So God does not need any changes. Amen? He is perfect. You and I are imperfect people. And I don't matter how nicely you look or how well-dressed you are imperfect. And you know, Tim and Brittany, tomorrow is your big day to say I do. I want to tell you that with all you try, with all you've learned, and with all you express, you're still two broken people. Still two imperfect people. But we move on to perfection. Amen? We always have perfection in view. And we move on with Christ there. Yes, we are incomplete without God. We need God's saving change. And the good thing is, God is still in the saving business. Amen? So we can say with the songwriter, we have heard a joyful sound. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Spread the glad news all around. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Amen? Now, we need to mature, it's true. We need to grow up in Christ and to go on to perfection. And Jesus is about to come back. The day we lose the view of this as Seventh-day Adventists is the day we need to cease to exist. We always see the coming of Christ as near. And that is true philosophically, And that is true theologically. I don't know who is the oldest person in this congregation at this time. Anybody 85? No takers. All right, Bill says Bill took 85. All right, so by human standards, how much longer does Bill have to live? No, we do know by human standard. We know. Maybe another 20 years. I'm stretching it now. I'm pushing him at 105. Maybe 20 more years for Bill. And anybody 70? Are in your 70s? We have some takers. So you maybe have another 35 to go. All being well. And if you're 50, you have another 50 to go. We know about 100 years is about cutoff point for us. We know that. So philosophically, the coming of Christ is near. The youngest person here is your daughter, Shay. How old is she? She's 3. So in 97 years, Jesus will come for her. Philosophically. Because after 97 years, even this young child will die. After 97 years. Roughly. Give her the full life, right? 97 years. After 97 years, Jesus will come for her. Because you know why? After death, the next thing the human being knows is what? The coming of Jesus Christ. And we do hope for all of us it's the first one, right? Because if we miss the first one, we'll get up 1,000 years too late. But it will still be the coming of Jesus Christ that we'll know. And so the point is, philosophically, it is a truth that Christ is coming soon. Even 100 years is still soon. Amen? And so if you look at it theologically, Christ is coming soon. All the major prophetic signs he's given us. For example, if you look at all the sets of sevens in the Bible, you go back to the Old Testament church, and they had, each year they celebrated 7 annual festivals. Right? 7 annual festivals. And the 7th one was which one? It came 5 days after the Day of Atonement. It began 5 days after the Day of Atonement. Which one was that? The Feast of Tabernacles? And so if you look at the Feast of Unleavened Bread, it was fulfilled in the life and ministry of Christ, where we are supposed to live without malice and hatred. That's what that Feast of Unleavened Bread represents. Christ himself is our Passover, as Paul says in Corinthians. Christ is our Passover. So that's fulfilled in the life and ministry of Christ. 2 so far. The 3rd one was what? The wave sheaf offering. Jesus, the first fruit from the dead. And he did took evidence with him as well. Those who resurrected. You find that in Matthew 27. And then the 4th one in the spring was the Feast of Pentecost, or the Festival of Pentecost. That literally fulfilled in the Christian era when the Holy Spirit took over the work. And he came upon the church in mighty power on the Day of Pentecost. 4 fulfilled already. If you go to the fall, there was the Rosh Hashanah, the blowing of the trumpets to prepare for Judgment Day. God rose up preachers right here in America land to tell the world of the coming Judgment Day when the 2300 days prophecy would be fulfilled. That was also fulfilled. You go to number 6, which was Yom Kippur itself, the Day of Atonement. Ever since October 22, 1844, 175 years ago, this past Tuesday, we've been living in the Day of Atonement. And the next one is the Feast of Tabernacles. You find that in Revelation 21, 3 and 4. John says, behold, the skinny, the tabernacle of God is with men. That's the 7th one. And I am told, I've read that we will be 7 days ascending to the sea of glass. 7 days ascending to the sea of glass, celebrating the Feast of Tabernacles, where we will be with our Lord forever. Amen. Amen? So I'm just showing you that in that sevens, we are now living between number 6 and 7. If you go to Revelation and see the 7 churches, what phase are we in? Laodicea, the 7th phase. If you look at the 7 seals in Revelation, what phase are we in? We are living between seals number 6 and 7. And so you look at the 7 trumpets, we are living between trumpet number 6 and trumpet number 7. You look at these sets of sevens, of course the 7 last plagues will only come when Christ has closed his ministry in the heavenly sanctuary. So if you look at the Bible theologically, we're in the very end of time. If you check what's happening in nature, even scientists are going on record to say the earth cannot support itself. The way, for example, we consume meat as human beings, it cannot continue to support itself. The groundwater is becoming more and more polluted. Plumes are getting in and the levels of cancer are rising. We're drinking poison or drinking water. Earth's resources are going deplete. And Jesus says through his prophet that the earth grows old. King James Version, the earth waxes old like a garment. It is growing old and this earth is groaning. The whole creation, Romans 1, waiting, groans to be delivered. We are coming down to the end. And America, the last great bastion in the world of Protestantism, America is falling by the day, by the week, by the month, by the year. Falling into deeper and deeper immorality. We're on the edge of time. And we're told that when this Protestant land shall reach her hand across the abyss and clasp hands with Romanism, we know that this nation will move into national apostasy that our prophet says will be followed by national ruin. We're getting there. 4 years ago, this past September, there was a certain man that came to address the United States Congress. First time in the history. And if that is not significant to you and tell you that America has changed, you need to pray some more so you can be wide awake. We are in the very end. We are getting down there. And so when I come to you talking about a relationship with Jesus Christ, we need to grow up in Christ. We need to mature. Christ is about to come back. And the question to you is, are you ready for Jesus to come? In the end, we will realize that a covenant-saving relationship with Jesus Christ is all that matters. Doesn't matter what letters you have in front or behind your name. Doesn't matter what kind of salaries you have, what kind of investments you have. Doesn't matter where you live, what house you live in, what car you drive. That will not matter in the final analysis. What will matter, what was your relationship like with Jesus Christ? Christ is about to come, but are you ready? It is God's wish that you have the blessed assurance of salvation here and now. Amen? Some assert all you need is a relationship, but is that so? You know, there's nothing that you or I could have done about being born into this world. We were not there to make that decision. Amen? We could not do anything. But to be saved, to be born again, and to be saved in the world to come has everything to do with your choice. God has made all the provisions. You just need to choose God and a relationship with him that is based on his terms. Amen? By the way, each of you here today has a relationship with God. Did you know that? I'll extend that. Everyone in this world has a relationship with God. Did you know that? Some just have a bad relationship with God. And for some, it is so bad that they futilely try to deny the existence of God. But it is impossible for human beings to exist without God. So if you see any human beings around, and you can just look around in this room, then as surely as you do, there is a creator God in heaven who is in charge of this whole universe. Amen? Yes, my friends. When you breathe, each time your heart beats, that's a reminder about God that God is. As one theologian puts it, I am because God is. God is the cause, we are the effect. If there were no God, there could be no us. And so when evolutionists say we are narrow-minded, I think their minds are so narrow. They can't recognize that they were created. We are the broad-minded people who worship God. Big minds, great intellects, amen? Yes, we serve the Almighty. He created us all in His own image. And like the children's song says, red, brown, yellow, black, and white. Amen? Do you know that Andrews University is relatively tiny by American standards for universities? Tiny, real small. And yet Little Andrews is the number one most diverse university in the United States. Did you know that? We hold the number one position. Anybody want to guess why? Huh? Because the everlasting gospel is to go to every kindred, nation, tongue, and people. And being that it is our premier theological institution, people from every kindred, nation, tribe, tongue, and people come there to study. It's amazing. Little Andrews, number one most diverse in the United States. So God has created us all in His own image, and we are all precious in His sight. He created Adam and Eve, and through procreation by our moms and dads, God created us. God also made a perfect Lucifer. But Lucifer rebelled and became Satan, even as the adversary, as his name Satan means. Even he has a relationship with God. Did you know that? James chapter 2 and verse 19. The Bible says, you believe that there is one God? You do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. Satan believes that there is a God. So he is the top demon. He has made himself God's rival. He has used assassination attempts, assassination of character, and slander to try to overthrow God. Deception, lies, intrigue, murders are just a few of the weapons Satan uses to slander God. Satan peddles theories that oppose the God of the Bible. Satan maintains an actively adversarial relationship with God. But let us instead choose to be friends of God. What do you say? Now, I will always agree with the teachings of the Bible. They were sent to us by God. The Bible is the book without a rival. The Bible is the book of all books. The Bible is always true. And it says every human being is in need of a covenant saving relationship with God. So if you're married and miserable, what you and your spouse may need is not a divorce. What both of you may need is a fresh or a first encounter with God. Amen? Our own prophet says, marriage, in a majority of cases, is a most galling yoke. There are thousands that are mated but not matched. The books of heaven are burdened with the woes, the wickedness, and the abuse that lie hidden under the marriage mantle. This is why I warn the young who are of a marriageable age to make haste slowly in the choice of a companion. Adventist Home, page 44. So, what's my word to you then? Hold on to your position. Stand still. Pray and seek the salvation of the Lord. Amen? Singles in the house today, and we have two that will change their status tomorrow, you know? Singles, you know, your case is not lost either. Just seek God first in all that you do. Hold your position. Lean on Jesus. Trust Him. Trust His word implicitly. Never compromise God's ideal for love relationships. Amen? Never, never. A relationship with God is the sweetest anyway. Anyway. It is better to be faithful and single than to be married and miserable. Amen? So, married people, and there are some married singles too, and singles, and the divorced, or anyone else considering a marital status change, remember your first duty. Seek out, find that covenant saving relationship with God. Isaiah 55 and verse 6 says, seek the Lord while
he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. So there is more to the saying than what meets the eye or meets the ear when it says all you need is a relationship. What you need is a covenant saving relationship with God. Amen. Now, to develop a covenant saving relationship with God, here are some steps you can take. Number one, use your gift of faith to believe in God. Amen. Every one of us has a measure of faith. Use it to believe in God. In 2 Chronicles 20 and the second half of verse 20, the word says, hear me. And I'm contextualizing it to us here today. The leader says, hear me, O Seventh-day Adventists, and you inhabitants of the home of Adventism, which is America land. Believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe his prophets, and you shall prosper. So use your gift of faith to believe the Lord with all your heart. And the best way to believe God is to trust his word. Amen. And those words came through the work of his prophets. The second thing you do, be still and know that the Lord is God. And this is a difficult feat in a very hyperactive world. But get yourself your own copy of the Bible. Silently, quietly, and in awe and utmost reverence for God, prayerfully study your Bible. Amen. Look at how God spoke with the ancients back then. And also listen to what God is speaking to you, the contemporary, right now. In Psalm 46 and verse 10, the psalmist says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations, among the ethnicities. I will be exalted in the earth. So as you take steps 1 and 2, you will have already begin to form that covenant saving relationship with God. Step number 3, pray. Pray. Talk to God in the language that is most comfortable to you. Amen. Be truthful with God. You know, do not polish what you say to God. God doesn't need that. We go up and trying to use all fancy terms and just talk with God. He just want to hear from your heart. Amen. Just bear in mind that when you are talking to him, you are speaking with the Most High. Ask God to grow you in your prayer life. Ask him to teach you how to pray in a way that will change you. Pray for your health. Pray for your job. Pray for your schooling. Pray for your finances. And pray for your relationships. Amen. Do not miss the opportunity in secret prayer to pray the deeply personal things to God. Talk with him about them. Make your request known to God about your internal battles. Pour out your soul to God about your spiritual struggles. Tell him all about it. Ask God to help you to face your giant fightings within and your Goliath fears without. Talk to him about it. Ask God for victory over discouragement and ask God to conquer all your doubts. He'll do it. He'll do it. Pray about your own needs in your moments of alone time with God. Wrestle with God through your personal conflicts. Ask God for guidance and for wisdom. Talk with him like you talk with a friend about the things that are on your heart and the things that are in your mind. Talk to him. Praying not only changes the world around you, praying changes you. Amen. God established prayer so we can have conversations with him. As you do, as you pray, you will grow. Your trust in God will deepen and your relationship with him will bloom. It is through prayer that the Holy Spirit convicts you both of sin and also of righteousness, as John 16 verse 8 brings to our view. It is through prayer that you will learn how to wrestle until you surrender your own will and come to trust God's plan through prayer. Intense, sincere praying is a great avenue of courage and strength. Some of God's choicest blessings will only emerge after you've dug deep beneath the surface and get real with God. Amen? Share your challenges and desires, your dreams and dashed hopes with God. Hold nothing back. Tell God everything. David knew what that meant. God even, in Acts 13 verse 22, the second half, God even gave testimony and said, I have found David the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, who will do all my will. Question is, are you now fired up to go and pray real honest and, if necessary, real messy prayers to God? He wants to hear from us. Many such prayers of David have been recorded in the Psalms. Though a soldier who defeated giants, David was also a prayer warrior, fighting battles to defeat spiritual weaknesses within his own heart. In prayer, David often started out sounding doubtful, discouraged, and fearful. But by the time he finished many of those same prayers, David had a faith reset. Amen? He found courage, hope, and joy. An example is David's story in Psalm 13, verse 1. He starts out by saying, how long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? But before that short prayer ended, note the change now in David's tone, verses 5 and 6 of that same Psalm 13. But I have trusted in your mercy. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. You see that big shift? Yes. Friends, these are the kind of conversations that God desires us to have with him. This is the kind of praying that changes us. And God deserves our naked hearts. Amen? In prayer, offer up your praise and thanksgiving too. As often as you can, do it. Many of those kind of psalms, prayer and praises are there in the Psalms too. You do not have to begin every prayer with thanksgiving and praise, but pray that way often. Believe in the power of praise. An attitude of praise and thanksgiving turns our attention away from our limited self and from our problems, and it shifts and puts our focus on God. And God is big enough to do something about our problems. Amen? Yeah, so all we need then is a relationship. What kind? A covenant saving relationship with God. So in summary, the first thing is to use your gift of faith to believe God. Amen. The second one is to be still and know that the Lord is God. Meditate on his word often. The third one is to pray. Talk to God in your most comfortable language. And my final point is more a result of your covenant saving relationship with God than it is a requirement. That final one is number four. Recount God's faithfulness to yourself. Then go with a commitment that you will embrace Vision 2020, as is on your bulletin insert. Vision 2020. Each one, reach one for Christ. That's what we are, the mandate we're under. We need a sustained prayer operation for this very ginormous undertaking of Vision 2020. This is where, between now and the end of next year, we're asking God not to use a great evangelist on 3AB and our Hope TV, but to use us as his local evangelist to reach someone. Could be in our own family, could be in our own, on the own street we live in the community. But to use each of us to reach at least one person to make a decision for him between now and the end of next year. And it might sound simple, but it takes faith. It takes praying. It takes intentionality. We got to be very intentional about this. Or else
2020 will just pass as any other year when we didn't lead anyone to Christ. So we got to be praying. We got to be fasting and asking God. Vision 2020 can only be accomplished by the help and power of the Holy Spirit. And as soon as you allow him, the Holy Spirit will lead you into this experience. Ezekiel describes the Holy Spirit as waiting to perform this holy work in you. And we heard it in the text that were read for our scripture reading. And in Ezekiel chapter 36, I'm going to start in verse 25 and share with you how the prophet puts it. Ezekiel 36, beginning in verse 25, he says, "Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh." Now, who was the Holy Spirit talking to here? Was it the people out in the world or the people in the church? Yeah, you better believe it. I was in the church. People having stony hearts. And it doesn't matter how nice our faces look. We can have very stony hearts. And we need to be praying that God will melt us. It doesn't matter how recently or how long ago we've been in the church. We can have stony hearts. We need God to touch us. Amen? And God says he's willing to do this work. "I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh." Verse 27. "I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them." Amen. And then chapter 18 and verse 31. We're coming to a close here. God says, "Cast away from you all the transgressions which you have committed, and get yourselves a new heart." And how do we get it? We accept it from the Holy Spirit. "Get yourselves a new heart and a new spirit." What is a new spirit, by the way? In John 4, verse 24 on, Jesus says, "God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." Zechariah 8 and verse 8 is a similar text. And it says we must do what? It uses the term truth and righteousness. So spirit is our mannerism. When it says we worship him in spirit and in truth, our mannerism. We have a true spirit toward God, a true life, a true choice, a true attention, a true focus towards God. It says we must get a new heart and a new spirit. A new world view. The way we look at things, we look at things God's way. "For why would you die, O house of Israel?" As we close, I ask you one more time, is it true that all you need is a relationship? Is it true? Well, I say, we need a covenant, saving relationship with God. And that is based on God's terms. So begin now. Seek God with all your heart. Give it everything you've got. Bend every nerve into making a full and complete surrender to God. Do you know that's the one problem that God has with us? For our complete surrender. Everything from start to finish is based on the grace and the power of God and the life of Jesus Christ. All we have to do is to throw our choice in the mix and choose God. And once we choose him, he will do the work of salvation in us. He justifies us. He sanctifies us. And when he comes, he will give us glorified bodies and glorified reality. And we live in heaven on earth. God wants to transform us. So pray honestly. Pray earnestly. Prayerfully wrestle through your issues. Focus firmly on God. Think about who he is. Meditate on his promises. Look at how he has already been leading in your life. And remind yourself that he is the Almighty God, the
only true God, the only real God. He's the only one whom you can completely trust. God has given his life for you in the atoning death of Jesus Christ on Calvary. The question is, will you give him your heart right now? God has great plans for you. And all you need is a covenant saving relationship with him. 23 years ago, this past September 21st, I was baptized into the Seventh-day Adventist Church. I was never raised Seventh-day Adventist. My mother is here today. I went to church mostly with her, to the Church of England, the Anglican Church. That's where I grew up. But by the time I was 10 or 11, I began to question whether that faith followed God in the Bible. And so for the next several years, I was unchurched. Didn't go to church until I started reading the Bible. God began to move my heart. And then by the time I was 18 and a half, I got baptized and made my decision for Jesus Christ. You know, I read the Bible first and then went looking for a church. And it had to be a Sabbath-keeping church. It so happened that I knew those one-day Christians, the Seventh-day Adventists, as we used to call them, one day, the only Christians on Sabbath. That's what we used to call them. But I knew they went to church on the right day. So when it was time to go search for a church, my first stop was the Seventh-day Adventist church. And I have not made any other stops. Amen? Amen. There is a church that follows the Bible. There is a church that follows the Bible. And I openly and publicly say to you, it is the Seventh-day Adventist church. So you're in the right place. You've made a right choice. And this is the best choice. It's true. Many churches out there follow some portions of the Bible. They all follow some portions. But I can safely say, having read the Bible through umpteen times and studied it carefully and prayerfully, there's one church on earth that follows the whole thing. It's a Seventh-day Adventist church. That's why I am a Seventh-day Adventist. That's why I'm a part of this church. And now I'm actually preaching it to others. Praise be to God for this message that he's given to us. We need to believe it. And if we don't believe it yet, let's go study it some more and pray some more. And ask God to make this thing clear to us. Yeah. And as we do, we'll find that this is the truth for this time. We're not only concerned about all the precious truth in the Bible. We're also concerned about the present truth for now. Amen. And this church holds this message. So let's believe it with all of our hearts. Let's take a fresh hold of it. And ask God to take a fresh hold of us. And in doing that, we'll be blessed. When we are transformed, we'll get to see that all things are bright and beautiful. If you believe God makes all things bright and beautiful, then I invite you to stand with me and we sing. Hymn number 93. That's our closing hymn today. Amen. So whether you're married, whether you're single or anything, you can go from this place today to make your home a happy home. Amen. And so in the words of the song, happy the home when God is there, when love fills every breast, when one their wish and one their prayer and one their heavenly rest. Happy the home where Jesus' name is sweet to every ear, where children early learn lisp his fame, and parents hold Christ dear. Happy the home where prayer is heard and praises often rise, where parents love the sacred word and all its wisdom prize. Lord, let us in our homes agree this blessed peace to gain. Unite our hearts in love to thee, and love to all will reign. Let us pray. Father and our great God in heaven, thank you for your manifold wisdom. Thank you for your supercharged love for us. You have demonstrated this at Calvary and over again, both before Calvary and since Calvary. In our own life, Jesus, we have the full evidence that you love us and that you desire for us to enter a covenant saving relationship with you where we can grow in Christ, where we can grow from strength to strength, and we can be living modern disciples of yours who still stick to your word. Bless us today, Jesus. And as we go from this holy place of worship, may we fellowship with the believers, knowing that we are children of the Most High God. Watch over us, Lord. Cleanse us and wash us and purify us from every sin and make us one with you. And Jesus, it is you who taught us that when we pray, we should say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Amen.